Tuesday morning. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on Sujolo 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy, and on this week's show, it is episode 488, Metal My Movie, where we take a look at director Jane Schoenburn's film, I Saw the TV Glow, and we give it the Metal My Movie treatment. It does definitely deserve. First, though, it is DVD Tuesday for March the 11th for 2025. You have director Ethan Hawke with his film Wildcat, starring Maya Hawke. This is a biographical drama onto the author Flannery O'Connor, and I can't wait to see this film. I really heard good things about it, even though it did not get a favorable review. I still want to watch it. And I know that it is streaming onto the Criterion channel apparently, but it is also arriving out onto physical media release. Let's get to some music to get your morning started here. It is Metal March here on Sigello 1690 AM. So we'll be focusing onto metal music to get your morning started. Apologies to all those who can't handle metal music at 8 AM in the morning here, but we're going to hear Scare with the track Jane Dark, from the album In the End, Was It Worth It? Then we're going to hear XDO with Vespian off of the album Year of the Four Emperors. And then finally, I'd love to kick Metal March off with this track here. You're going to hear Quiet Riot with Come Feel the Noise. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard Sujolo 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Thank you.
And welcome back to your tune in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Before we get to our Metal My Movie segment about the Jane Schoenberg's I Saw the TV Glow, we get to some scores from cinema. We have some new ones to get to this week. So I have Yola Tang with the track Driving Home off of the Kelly Reichardt film Old Joy. This would be a new release, finally released, would be the score for Old Joy from director Kelly Reichardt. Yola Tang would be the artist behind the composer for the score for that film. And then since the Oscars were last weekend, or the previous weekend, we are going to hear Daniel Blumberg's award-winning score for The Brutalist, one of my favorite scores of the previous year. We're going to hear the tracks Pennsylvania and Steel from The Brutalist. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. that was Daniel Blomberg's award-winning score there for The Brutalist with the tracks Pennsylvania and Steel. Before that, you heard Yola Tang with the track Driving Home from Kelly Records' film Old Joy. This is a new release from Yola Tang. Next up, we're going to hear some Hans Zimmer here. So my parents decided on to a family movie night, and they wanted to watch Driving Miss Daisy, a blind spot inside of my watch list, more specifically my Oscar winner's watch list. So we finally caught up with that one. And you can read my review onto Letterboxd for Driving Miss Daisy. However, I really enjoy this Hans Zimmer score. So we're going to hear Hans Zimmer, Driving Miss Daisy. This is from the album The World of Hans Zimmer. However, I could not find the original Driving Miss Daisy score. So, yeah, we're going to hear Hans Zimmer, Driving Miss Daisy off of The World of Hans Zimmer. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only here on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. Thank you. Mike Pilster with his theme song for Doogie Howser M.D. Before that, you heard Hans Zimmer with Driving Miss Daisy off of The World of Hans Zimmer. And why I decided to play both of those together was because they sounded eerily familiar to me that I wanted to make a comparison between the two. Good morning, you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Here's your Cinematic Fridays for March the 14th. You have the action thriller Novocaine starring Jack Quaid. We did a little bit of a giveaway on CJLO for the advanced premiere of Novocaine. And people are excited for this one, I can tell. You also have Steven Soderbergh's second film of the year, which is a dramatic thriller starring Michael Fassbender, Cate Blanchett. You don't need to say more than that. As well, too, Steven Soderbergh. It is called Black Bag. And then finally, you have the horror film Opus for May 24th. This one stars John Malkovich and Ayo Edebiri. I believe that this is the one that I'm most looking forward to seeing what happens there. But as well, too, all of them seem, this Cinematic Friday. I'll probably be checking out all three of them. So, it is Metal March here on CJLO 1690 AM, and one of the things I like to do for Metal March is take a look at a movie, and we give it the Metal My Movie treatment, where we talk about some of the metal themes inside the film, inside general. And I think that it's only fitting that we talk about I Saw the TV Glow from director Jane Schoenburn, probably to highlight this film. And also to talk about how it was an underrated film that not a lot of people got to see. So hopefully this film picks up a little bit with this episode that I do onto it and more people check it out. So the film is about two people, Maddie and Owen, who are both obsessed with a TV show called The Pink Opaque. So when you think about The Pink Opaque, think Buffy and the Vampire Slayer, Goosebumps, think about Nick at Night. So this was like the final show at night right before the screen turned to reruns of old sitcoms and stuff like that. So inside of The Pink Opaque, you have one of the characters, Tara, who's an expert inside of demonology, and she and her friend both communicate onto the psychic plane and they face monsters on the way. So there's like a lot of monsters there. So The Pink Opaque can be seen as scary mythology, psychic abilities. How does that relate to Owen though? So I picked up onto this inside of this review, this installment of watching I Saw TV Glow, but Owen and his mom are at the vote night for election night, and this is the 90s with Clinton, and Owen's mom thinks that Owen might have a psychic connection somehow, and she tells him to put his hand over who to vote for and to pick somebody. So we can see how the characters from The Pink Opaque relate to Owen inside of this way. And that's what stuck out to me this time around. So definitely the psychic characters inside The Pink Opaque and also Owen having some sort of a psychic ability is definitely something that sticks out as a metal theme from this film. So inside of school, Owen sticks by himself and his best friend, Maddie. He's more of an introvert. And I guess that's kind of like The Pink Opaque, where the real thing that they bond over is their friendship and photography. One of the things that is striking about Jane Schoenburn's I Saw the TV Glow that I really love about the film are the bright neon aesthetics of the film inside general. And it can be seen inside the dark streets that are covered with smog, and you see the neon pink chalk, or even the neon pink Fruitopia vending machine that Owen is next to talking to Maddie when they first talk for the first time. And it's really like a dark, moody scene. And definitely the vending machine of the pink neon does stick out. Definitely reminiscent of the 80s metal a little bit and how pink neon was big inside of the 80s neon pink, especially. So the big baddie inside of the Pink Opaque, because there's always got to be a big baddie, is named Mr. Melancholy. And think about that for a few minutes, and think about what melancholy really means. So here, a brief definition of melancholy would be a feeling of pensive sadness, typically with no obvious cause, or having a feeling of melancholy, sad, and pensive. Definitely some of the themes that run through the metal genre at times, or inside of any songs inside general tunes of the rock metal era. Definitely there's sometimes a feeling of melancholy through the songs. So here's Maddie about the Pink Opaque. Sometimes the Pink Opaque feels more real than real life, and that's when the lines start to blur inside of this film. So Owen is very distant, as his mom is sick. He seems lost, and his mom really points that out to him, and that's probably because Owen can only relate to two things, his best friend Maddie, and of course his number one friend inside life, the show The Pink Opaque. And here we get to the father, or the clueless father of the year inside of a horror film. And definitely horror films do have the clueless father, but this one has a metal element to the father, because the father is played by a lead frontman to Limp Bizkit, Fred Durst, who is now a movie actor and slash director too. And he basically spells it out to Owen, as Maddie and his mom don't too, but he speaks of it inside of like a manly, fatherly, assertive voice when Owen talks about the Pink Opaque and how enamored he is by the show. Fred Durst, as the father, goes, "Isn't that a show for girl and for girls?" And that's when he gets my clueless dad of the year. But also we can see how Owen and his father both hide themselves inside the glow of the TV. Probably the father watching action shows or sports shows, and Owen finding the Pink Opaque as his show that he loves. However, the sleepovers at Maddie's house don't really last for long, and Maddie does leave Owen tapes of the show for Owen throughout the years that he doesn't go for the sleepover at Maddie's to watch the Pink Opaque. So basically, Maddie leaves tapes for Owen as sort of like bootleg videos that circulate. Definitely, you can see that inside the metal culture as well too, with music videos or bands or shows, how they circulated bootleg or sometimes bootleg copies of music videos or concerts as well too. This is where I want to highlight the film inside general, because the film deals with issues about identity and somebody's sexual identity as well too. And I think that I Saw the TV Glow alongside The People's Joker really nails the self-identity and questions about sexuality inside their films really well, like from last year. So here's Owen about his sexuality when Maddie asks him about his sexuality inside general. So he goes, "I think I like TV shows." When I think about that, referring here to his identity, it's as if someone took a shovel and dug out all my insides. I know there's nothing in there, but I'm also too nervous to go in and check. And Maddie says that she likes girls, even though she hopes that that doesn't affect her relationship with Owen, too. Then Maddie says, "I'm leaving this town. I feel like I'll die here if I stay." However, she wants Owen to come. However, Owen really does not want to come because he feels a sense of security inside his town, despite his mother passing away and everything and living with his father. He does have a sense inside this town. So Maddie disappears and the TV set is burning in the backyard the same month as the Pinko Peak is canceled. So I guess that here we'll take a little bit of a break, and another metal theme could be the TV set burning in the background as Maddie disappears and the show being canceled. So definitely a type of metal element here to the cancellation of a TV show, of the TV set burning inside the background. So when we come back, what happens when Maddie does come back all of these years later? Well, we'll find out. You're tuned in listening to At the Movies, What the Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM. We are discussing director Jane Schoenburn's fabulous I Saw the TV Glow from last year as it receives the Metal My Movie segment here on At the Movies, What the Iconic Sounds. Tuesday morning, you are once again tuned in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy, and on this week's episode, we are talking about Jane Schoenburn's film I Saw the TV Glow, and we are giving it the Metal My Movie treatment it does deserve for Metal March here on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. So before we went to a commercial break, I was talking about the disappearance of Owen's friend Maddie, which coincides with her television set burning in the backyard, and it was the same month that the Pinko Peak got canceled. So it's definitely like a metal symbolism for a television show being canceled. However, Maddie does return back into town eventually and finds Owen. And this is where the lines kind of blur for the film, especially when we ask ourselves, what is reality and what separates the TV show of the Pink Opaque from Owen's own life? Because here, in essence, we thought that it was just a TV show that Owen and Maddie were obsessed with, that they watched regularly together. However, could it be that they are in fact part of the Pink Opaque, and that's probably why Owen relates to the show so much? It could be that Tara, the expert in demonology with psychic abilities, talking to her friend on the psychic plane, is similar to Owen's mom, who thinks that Owen might have a psychic connection or ability as well, too. When Maddie does return, she brings Owen to the bar where the track of Sloppy Jane featuring Phoebe Bridgers is playing at the bar, too. Such a great song. Probably going to play it again. And Maddie goes to Owen, "Are you sure that's all it was? The Pink Opaque?" And then she asks him, "Do you ever get confused? Time is not working, distinguishing what happened in the show and what happened in real life. I've been in the show, and I'm going back there. You can't trust anyone in your life. They're all working for Mr. Melancholy." And this is where I feel that we can talk about Fred Durst being either the dad of the year or still being the clueless dad of the year. Because inside the final episode of The Pink Opaque, Owen watches it, and after he's done watching it, he goes into the television, quite literally. He is inside the television set, and there's electric static all around him, and Fred Durst, being the clueless dad that he is, finally gets alert and goes downstairs to see what's happening to his son, and he gets Owen out of the TV set, and he splashes water over him and tries to get him back into reality of being inside the real world. So here's where we can talk about if Fred Durst is either the dad of the year that he saves Owen from going into the television set and being consumed by the television set, or is he preventing Owen from being his true self, because the Pink Opaque could have been his true self, and Fred Durst is trying to preserve him for not being his true self, which would be the clueless dad, of course, as well, too. So we can see both sides of the story, and I don't know, still. I don't know if Fred Durst is either the dad of the year for saving his son, or if he's the clueless dad of the year for not accepting the fact that his son was trying to find his own identity through that television show and come into his own identity through that television show too. So then Owen talks about to Maddie, "Those memories were there to distract you, the suburbs from the midnight realm." And then finally, it was time to become an adult for Owen, a productive member of society. So we see Owen going through the different stages of adulthood, and then he finally realizes that his favorite show, The Pink Opaque, was now streaming onto a streaming service. He doesn't have to wait for the episode every single week or get bootleg videotapes from Maddie of every episode. He has them onto a streaming service, and he realizes as an adult that the shows really aren't that scary anymore. They're kind of cheesy inside of the sense of you would watch a Goosebumps or Are You Afraid of the Dark today and probably find it a little bit cheesy, or even Buffy and the Vampire Slayer. There might be some episodes that you might find cheesy that as a kid you might have been a little bit hypnotized by or freaked out by as well too. So for Owen becoming an adult, he also wrestles with his own mortality as well too. So he had various jobs, and when the movie theater closed down, his manager brings him round to the Funtime Recreational Center. And it's like an arcade place where kids celebrate birthdays. And I think that this is where I'm going to leave the final Metal My Movie moment for I Saw the TV Glow, because it is a great one. And probably one of my favorite ones, because it is the meltdown that Owen has from Justice Smith when everybody is trying to celebrate a birthday, and he's tasked with also celebrating the birthday as well too, and singing happy birthday, but he has a freak out midway, and it's one of my most iconic scenes from last year, and probably one of the best meltdown moments from any character inside of any film, and definitely a meriting of this Metal My Movie moment, so let's take a listen to it.
Come on, let's go again from the top one more time. Happy birthday to you. Faster. Happy birthday to you. Better. Happy birthday, dear Charlie. Happy birthday.
You need to help me!
Welcome to the Trauma Center.
I'm dying right now.
Sorry, ignore me. I
And that scene, I think, truly merits Justice Smith, as well to director Jane Schoenberg, as truly meriting of this Metal My Movie segment for I Saw the TV Glow. So I cannot recommend this film enough that you check it out. It is currently streaming onto Crave, and as well too, it has a physical release onto the A24 website as well too. And on to next week's episode. Well, Danny is going to be joining me, and we are going to have an anniversary review of David Fincher's Seven from 1995, starring Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt. I can also recommend The People's Joker from director Vera Drew. So those are the two that I'm recommending as two underrated films from last year that haven't been seen. I Saw TV Glow from director Jane Schoenberg and Vera Drew's The People's Joker. Have a good week of streaming et bon cinéma.
I was born blue. I think I was born. scared.